Right now, we've got another guest on the show. Judith Miller is an author and a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, formerly with the New York Times. She's been a commentator since 2008 for Fox News. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. First of all, do you have any confirmation at all about Gaddafi? But secondly, what's the significance of this?
Well, he is apparently dead, according to the pictures that you can see on the air. He looks, it certainly looks like Gaddafi. The TNC, the Transitional National Council, reported that he had been shot twice in the legs and then in the head, that he had been killed by the Libyan National Forces, which is very important in terms of how this news will be received within Libya. And if that is so, this is definitely the end of a 40-year era of repression and authoritarianism within Libya. What happens next remains to be seen, and I, for one, am very worried about it.
And why are you worried? Yes, of course.
I am very worried because the TNC, which was a 35-member representative group of Libyans who had stepped up to get rid of Gaddafi, who had opposed him in the streets, who had put together a militia and an army to try and maintain order in the country, have not really been able to do that. There is chaos and anarchy in many cities and towns in Libya. The TNC itself is split between Benghazi and Tripoli, the capital. It speaks with many voices, and as a result, it's not clear who, if anyone, is in charge.
And so, we had the call before from a caller who raised the question, well, what's so bad about having the Islamicist in charge? But it is a very dangerous and volatile situation when they take control.
Very much so. Right now, the real control problem and the real challenge is to avoid anarchy, to avoid various militias of tribes that are have longstanding grievances against one another, fighting each other in the streets of Tripoli. We assume that once Gaddafi is gone, you know, peace and harmony will break out, but that's not obvious. It's not clear, and at this point, I'm cautious, but I fear that anarchy is more likely than stability at this moment.
How does Libya factor into the struggle for hegemony in the region between Saudi Arabia and Iran?
Well, it's a very small player. There are only 6 million Libyans. It's a vast country with mostly desert. 80% of its people live along the Mediterranean coast. They have not heretofore been heavily armed. They're not major political players. Their money has funded a lot of activity all over the world that Gaddafi felt was important. I mean, he went from being a, quote, self-styled Islamic Democrat to a supporter of very ruthless African regimes. There was no coherence in his message. There was only one leitmotif or theme, which was his own personal survival, and that is his family. Now that is over. And what takes his place, because he never permitted any governmental institutions to flourish, and he systematically dismembered the tribal structures that had been so much a part of this country forever. It's not clear who prevails, and it's not clear whether or not they don't slip into real civil war, civil conflict, and that would be a problem for for the region and for everybody who buys Libyan oil. Now, we do not buy very much of that oil, but most of it goes to Europe, and oil and money, as we've learned through while watching Greece, are fungible, and effects that shortages and disruptions that affect one country and one region now affect everybody. So we are not yet out of the woods with this. And what advantage of not having, quote, boots on the ground is that we can't be blamed for whatever happens in Libya. On the other hand, not having substantial boots on the ground primarily makes the United States kind of a bystander at this point. And we just have to hope that the few contractors and advisors that we have in there are able to help the Libyan Transitional National Council get a grip on the situation.
Judith Miller, we thank you very much for joining us and lending your insight. Judith Miller, author, Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, formerly with the New York Times, now a Fox News contributor. And Dan.